baby.
Yeah, right. But no, you're absolutely right.
Here, this kind of feels maybe lazy a little bit.
Welcome to Set Cheddar Park. Movie screenings.
Why not, you know?
Yeah, at that point, why not?
It's got to be Saturday somewhere. It's just so familiar.
It's hilarious. I think we did like 5 shows on this movie.
My name is Tom Cole.
Oh, you bite your tongue if this does not hold up.
Cream corn tonight.
Cream corn tonight.
That should be good corn time. It's a movie. Just wait for the big giveaway at 9.
Happy Saturday, Robert.
Happy Saturday to you.
How's the world treating you, Si?
Not too bad. We're getting ready for our 16th heat wave this summer, even though it's September.
The 16th.
I'm guessing, but 15th or 16th, I could be wrong.
It's a sweet 16. Whew, now, we were just speaking before the show that Lincoln, Nebraska just hosted the largest attendance for women's sports.
Ever in the world?
Ever.
Yeah, 92,003 people.
Wow. It's incredible.
I could have gone and made it 92,004, but...
It was pivoting on you if it were to be the largest.
On a work day, no less. Where was everybody?
Right, yeah. I did kind of think about that. I'm like, don't people work?
Apparently not, so...
Right.
Normally, during a Husker football game, obviously there's not people on the field, but usually on those days, it's technically that becomes the third biggest city, I think, in Nebraska.
because that would pivot.
The stadium alone, yeah.
What is the biggest city is Omaha, though, right?
Yeah.
Interesting. Very cool. And you're listening to the podcast, Set Jetter Saturdays, Robert Patterson. Check out his website at setjetter.com. I'm just going to kick us off and mention Jimmy Buffett. Sad news for parrot heads, passed away today. And he passed away at 76, which I didn't expect him to go that soon. He always seemed to be like fit.
Yeah.
On his Instagram, he's always like very active.
And I didn't realize he was that young, I guess I'll say. I mean,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
But yeah, so sad day. Everybody seems to be going a little bit too soon, way before their time.
Yeah, that seems to be the consensus. Paul McCartney did a nice post about, you know, people going too soon and how he was like this lovely guy. And he told this cool story how he was on holiday and he met with Jimmy Buffett and they were like kind of friends hanging out. And he said he was upset that he didn't have a guitar with him. And Jimmy's like, oh, you can use one of mine. And Paul said, you know, I'm left-handed, that's not going to work. So Jimmy Buffett had like one of his roadies like restring it to play it. And I guess McCartney liked the guitar so much, he had like one custom made for him. And he was like, now whenever like I play that, I'm going to think of this sweet man. And I don't know, it was nice.
Nice.
I'm a huge parrot head. I've seen Buffett so many times, and I just, his music was like a soundtrack to my teenage years. And it was sad to see him go. So
it is. Yeah, I've seen a lot of people posting concert pictures and reminiscing.
He went to that one particular Harvard. Okay, so rest in peace, Jimmy Buffet. And let's kick it off. What have you been watching? I want to hear. I'm very interested in your list here. What's been popping?
I feel like I'm super busy, but obviously I find time, or I have stuff on in the background, or movies to fall asleep to. But I took a look. I had seen it once before, but I rewatched Boy Erased with Nicole Kidman and Russell Crowe. I'm not sure if you've seen that, but
I haven't. How is it?
It's good.
It is.
I kind of forgot pieces of it. So, and I think it was like a Netflix recommendation. So,
oh, yeah.
I like it a lot. It takes place, a son of a preacher that is realizing that he's gay, and then they sent him to be converted. So it has, I don't know, very good.
Boy Erased. Yeah. The character was gay, yeah, and they sent him to be like pray the gay away camp thing.
Correct. Okay. So it's based on a true story, and it's one of those nice at the end, and they show the real people, you know, pictures, you know, so forth. Of course.
Oh yeah, yeah. I do like when they do.
They don't look like Nicole. She doesn't look like Nicole Kidman, of course. But
right,
a version of stuff like that. But yeah, it's good. I feel like it probably just kind of got missed, and probably didn't get as much attention as it should. So, yeah.
Whenever they show those, you know, like biopics or whatever, anything based on real life, when they show the character at the end versus what they like, I immediately forget about the movie. And I'm like, let's see how well they did. And sometimes you're like, wow, they really did a good job with the makeup. And other times you're like, ooh, Tom Cruise, he did not look like Tom Cruise or something. You're like, yeah, that, I guess you can't have an ugly actor or something. Yeah. But it's like,
I know, we were just used to pretty people.
Exactly.
In our movies. But, and Nicole had, you know, the, I don't know, is it Southern? I can't remember. They shot it in Georgia, of course. But,
Okay.
But yeah, so anyway, but yeah, so it's a good film. So, nice. On the other end of the spectrum, I kind of have been, I know it's not good to hate watch something, but I got through season two of And Just Like That.
And Just Like That.
The Sex and the City, sequel-ish, I guess. I don't know, it's not a reboot, but they are adding more characters that I thought season one was bad. It's embarrassing. I don't know anymore.
It's so sad because Sex and the City was such a great show. It was such a well-written show. I mean, what's the point of this? Is it just a cash grab, ratings grab?
I think a little bit, because part of it, I do get, you know, let's revisit, you know, even though we had two movies, which were also a little bit ridiculous.
Yeah.
And I think they were trying to, you know, kind of atone for lack of diversity in many ways, you know, race, sexuality.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, and then literally it's so many unlikable characters and odd situations that some of the situations, literally, if the genders were reversed, if it was like a group of men lusting after a senior girl in high school, it would be, people would be,
of course.
Yeah. And then it's just like, literally, you know, it is rich people's problems. Like, oh, well, you know, like her husband wants to go to the Met, but I already invited so-and-so, you know, like, and whatever. And now we forgot to get a car to go to the Met. They're going to have to walk, you know, like, it's like.
Right, right. Yeah. First world problems of the
it's
elite.
It's not even, yeah. So for some reason, I just had to kind of see how bad it goes. Plus, we're all kind of waiting because we also knew they paid Control, I'm not sure how much, to do a phone cameo a la Suzanne Summers.
Oh, she has a cat. So,
yeah.
Is she not in it because she's feuding in real life?
Well, I think, yeah, she has like no love lost with Sarah Jessica Parker for, I think, a multitude of reasons, and she's pretty vocal about it. And anybody who would read the script would know, stay away from this anyway, you know, like,
yeah,
there's no part in it for her at all, you know, like, I'm like, good for her,
really.
I'd much rather see her do the Police Academy reboot than
than this.
Yeah. And so she may, obviously they paid her quite a bit to do she refused to be on state on in the same scene with anybody, and, you know, whatever. So it was just kind of a one phone call that, you know, they're not even close to. I think she probably shot her phone call, and then they kind of probably had to rewrite Sarah Jessica Parker some lines to react to that.
So they were on the phone with each other in the scene.
Yeah.
So yeah, so they filmed Kim probably like at her house or studio or something, and that was it.
Yeah. So good for you, Kim.
Is it really that bad though? Like, it's
it is let me give you an example.
Because I respect your opinion. Yeah. So if you say it's bad, it's
so
bad.
So Miranda is dating Che, which is, people have kind of universally called her, them the worst character on television. But so, you know, she's waiting to go into the studio because Che has a sitcom, you know, it's kind of this preview or whatever. And, you know, and she's talking to her son. She's like, oh, I got to put, you know, all phones have to be put away and locked up. And she's like, oh, I'm going to hide my, you know, like, I wonder what happens when they start taping the show. Bing, ding, bling, bling. You know, the phone goes
off. Of course.
Literally everything shuts down. The producer's like, how could you? Like, literally. It's just like, that's not, none of this is reality, you know?
That's so bad.
It's just,
how are we going to get to the Met?
One time Miranda's on the beach cleaning up and she's on her phone, and one of the other kind of beach cleaner uppers gives her this look like, I can't believe you're on your phone at the beach. You know, like, what? What world is this anyway?
That's so bad.
So anyway, but yeah, so and I think it got greenlit for season 3. So
somebody's watching it.
So I also finished Alias, all 5 seasons. So I've been getting ready to. Well, I'm not sure because it's obviously it's probably 400 locations between the entire series. So I'm not sure how many I will get to on my next.
The brain's working.
Yeah, I was just like, well, I made a map for everything. So, but yeah. So obviously, seasons 1 and 2 are pretty good. Season 3 begins to kind of creak a little bit and. Comes back a little bit at the end, but I still love my Alias. So.
You do. Yeah, I like that you're a dedicated fan.
Yeah. Happy birthday to me, because I Kino Lorber had a good Blu-ray sale, so I got my stack of eclectic Blu-rays. So I thought I better start getting through this. So, but it kind of helped because I found another location that I had been missing. So next time in Montreal, which I'm not sure if I'll ever go to Montreal, but again... But we'll see.
It's working in your brain though. You're thinking about it.
Yeah, like I gotta find these places. So, Popeye. Did we talk about Popeye last time? I can't remember.
We did either one of the times, but you did plow through Popeye.
I watched the entire movie because I was
How
like,
is it?
Creaky, you know.
Creaky,
Yeah, it's like, so some of the songs they're not catchy, but they get stuck in your head.
They do. I did listen to some of the songs after the last show. And what's the one song that you quote? I had that in my head like all day.
It depends. Like it could be Sweet Haven. Or
that was it.
Or He Needs Me, which I
It was
picture.
Sweet Haven. Sweet Haven.
God must love us. Anyway, it's just
now, the Popeye set is still there and Moldovia or whatever.
Malta, yeah. They call it Popeye's Village now, and I think Popeye's I did a little Village. Window or Google Street View to kind of see, you know, what it looks. It looks essentially the same. Obviously, they've had some updates and so forth, but yeah, I figure that is a. If you're gonna be in Malta, you might as well go visit the filming location. So.
Yeah, my buddy Mike was there for he was on like a cruise or something or some kind of boating expedition, and he said they the tour guide or whatever was like, and if you look to your right, you'll see Popeye's Village. And I don't think he saw the movie, but he's like, that's such a random thing to point out. Cause it's not like Popeye was this phenomenon movie that you're still quoting and watching. Like it's just, a lot of people don't even know it's a movie, you know, like, or most people haven't seen it. Yeah. So it's so strange that it's there, but it does look cool. Like I looked at pictures before. Yeah. It's interesting.
Yeah. So, and they've kept it, you know, so.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I feel like, you know, we should go and just take over the town and sing Sweet Haven.
Sweet Haven.
Or whenever, for the neighbors, just like, or citizens, just like, oh, these people think they're so funny. Speaking of Robert Altman, who is a strange choice to direct Popeye, revisited Shortcuts. So Shortcuts was his follow-up to The Player. So The Player is probably his best known most kind of accessible movie, and is a favorite of mine, of course, being all Hollywood. So the next year he followed up with Shortcuts, which I do like, and it's I think it's a whopping 3 hours, so it does take a sitting to get through.
That is a long one.
Yeah. So, but I'm pretty proud of myself because I had like 3 missing locations, which I have since found. So I was just so excited. Yeah, I was just like, I am gonna find. I'm still missing one of them, I'll get to it. See, it's just stuck in your head.
Did Shortcuts? What years did Shortcuts come out? That was
93. So my goal is to get to these locations. Actually, I'll be in LA during the time. So,
Okay.
The 30th anniversary is going to be in October. So, so I've been to some before, but I need to finish it out. So, been using all my sleuthing activities.
I'm glad that you did it. That you're doing putting some time into it. Quick question back to Popeye.
Yeah.
Did it leave you like in a better place, a better opinion of the film from the last time you saw it? Or like, what was your, what's your takeaway?
No, it's kind of like, and never shall be watched again.
Okay. All right. So you'll probably never like really seek it out again.
No, it's kind of, and part of you is like, well, what's wrong with it? You know, like you got a good cast, and Shelley Duvall makes a great Olive Oil, you know?
Yeah.
She looks like, and she's, if anything, she was kind of more standout that I was like, you know, she, you know, now she's in her own world, obviously, but she was good back then. And to think, you know, that Shining and Popeye were released in the same year.
They were, right. I know. It's so random.
And just kind of have the two different, you know, her acting ability. I mean, she was a good actress. So,
yeah.
But yeah, so I liked her. And then, yeah, her song, that her kind of solo song is He Needs Me. He needs me. He needs me. So I feel like I'm going to make a video with it, maybe singing that.
Oh, you have to.
Yeah.
He needs me. That's he needs me.
Also going through my Kino Lorber Blu-ray shopping spree, The Eyes of Laura Mars, which,
oh, cool.
Seen that? With Faye Dunaway.
This was in the early 80s?
I think it was 79 still.
Okay. The Eyes of Laura Mars. This was when Faye Dunaway was still...
She had just won, I think, for Network. So this was her follow-up.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, so John Carpenter actually kind of wrote the original script, but I think they kind of veered far away from that at one point. So,
oh, really?
But yeah, so it is, yeah, one, I just wanted to kind of, I had not seen it in a while, and plus I got on Blu-ray, I kind of listened to the commentary. Irvin Kershner is the director, which a couple years later, he would direct The Empire Strikes Back, so.
Right, cool.
I don't know if he had a film in between. Is this the film that got him?
Yeah, that's an interesting choice. Well, The Eyes of Laura Mars. Let's go in that direction.
Yeah.
That is interesting.
Did you see that? I think that's the guy for the next Star Wars.
That's the one.
Well, probably is like, if you put it with Faye Dunaway, you can do anything.
Right. Exactly. That's funny.
So it's pretty good. It's probably... could be something that's kind of right for a remake. There's been kind of variations of that where, you know, somebody, I think it was a Jessica Alba movie where she had somebody else's eyes, and she could see the killer or something like that. It's kind of one of those.
Okay. Films, yeah, so, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, so it's a decent watch. I'll watch it every 7.5 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's that time. I'm feeling it in my
bones.
It's
that time. Yeah, so.
No, that's good.
Also had watched Kino Lorber. They should be sponsoring today's show. Needful Things. So I got the new 4K, and then included that is the 3-hour television cut. So almost, I think, a whole extra hour of stuff.
Oh, what a treat. How is it?
Chunks of it are like, obviously kind of, it's bloated, you know?
Yeah, you know why they cut it sort of thing.
Lisa Blount, who I was like, I don't think I remember her. In the movie, and I listened to commentary on the regular version.
Oh, yeah.
She was not in the movie at all. Like, sometimes you'd see her in the background, you know.
Yeah, she's supposed to have a bigger part that got cut.
Yeah, her whole story. She got, there was a kind of a Elvis bust that she found at Needful Things, and she was kind of, should say, having an affair with. You know, she'd be in bed with it. And
classic,
so
King.
Yeah, and so. It's interesting because, like, I don't think she took off her sunglasses the entire time. And I think she was the mother of the, is it Billy, the little kid that would throw the apples. You know, he was a little boy.
Yeah.
13,
okay.
Right? Yeah. So, but yeah, so there's piece. I mean, it's one of those, like, it has such a great cast or whatever. It should all just kind of sync together, but it doesn't quite. And the TV cut doesn't do any favors either.
Yeah, right. They there was a lot of advertising on that when that came out too. I remember it was a very aggressive campaign. Like, I think it was, so Needful Things was what, 93, 94?
Yep. It just had its anniversary as well, I think. I think it was 93, yeah.
So it was after before The Stand.
Correct.
Okay.
Yep.
So it was, that was pretty close to.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, it just kind of fell short in a lot of ways. I don't know. it's tough to adapt something of that size on a full scale unless you really do it right. Like The Stand.
Like The Stand. I saw something today where on a Stephen King Facebook page, it's like, people are like, should I watch this? You know, I've watched episode one. I hope it continues to be great. And I was like, and then somebody commented, like, it's okay, but it doesn't compare to the remake. The remake is stellar. And I'm like, oh my God.
Oh gosh. Not stellar.
It's not the word I would use, but
Bobby Terry.
So, but is one of the things like, you know, would Needful Things work if they had, if it was a 6-hour miniseries, you know, would it benefit from some of that kind of more interweaving and
good
so
call.
Forth? Possibly. It, as we know, Stephen King never quite sticks the landing, so that's always kind of an issue. But
right,
we'll see.
True, good call.
But it makes me want to kind of go visit that location. But I think it's closer to Victoria. You'd have to take a ferry over, too. I'm not sure if it's quite worth it.
Okay.
For my 20 photos I would take, and we're like, all right, everybody, 6 page views.
Here it is. No, it's good though.
Yeah. We'll see. And because I was kind of in a Stephen King time, it was time to rewatch Dolores Claiborne.
Oh, cool. Yes.
Which I do love. Kathy Bates. Yes. So Kathy Bates, second Stephen King. Is it second? Yeah. Second or third, because technically she did have a bit part in The Stand.
Right. True. True. This is Ray Flowers. Maybe you heard of the Constitution, the Bill of Rights. And I refuse.
You just have a part memorized from that.
I just, well, the Marines have landed. Okay, thanks. Thanks, John from Castle Rock. We have Robert from Omaha here.
So obviously she can do no wrong.
Do you know what burning flesh smells like?
What? You have to, this is your movie,
fan.
It sounds like. You are a fan. So, and the thing is, obviously, people talk about Kathy Bates and, you know, Jennifer Jason Leigh, but to me, Judy Parfitt as Vera Donovan is the... I'm just as enraptured by her on screen as the ritual she takes care of. That
good
she's,
call.
Yeah.
Gets it right.
Yeah.
Yeah, you believe it.
Yeah.
Dolores Claiborne came out in 90... 95.
So
yeah.
A year after The Stand.
Right. It's a good movie. It's a good good book too. It's very
listeners, you know that all movies come either before or after The Stand.
That's the litmus test of when it was made.
How we determine.
Exactly. We gotta crowbar it in. Dolores Claiborne, was a hit, if I'm not mistaken. I think it did pretty well.
Obviously, Kathy Bates kind of got a lot of accolades for her work. So yeah. It was good, yeah. I think it's kind of forgotten now. People don't really talk about it. It's not as audience pleasing as Misery.
Right. It isn't talked about a lot. And I don't remember ever seeing it streaming anywhere. Mm-mm. Like, in front of my face, but that's cool. You watched it. I enjoyed it. And I saw you watch The Flash too, or did I misread that?
I did. I didn't know if we talked about that last time or not. This is why I can't remember. Like,
I watched it too. I watched it two nights ago.
So what did you, this will be our segue of crossover, The Flash.
I like The Flash. I enjoyed
like
it.
Yeah. It's not one I'm like, certainly not going to go out and buy, but I was just like, okay. Did a good job.
Oh my gosh, Flash! Are you actively eating that candy bar? In the name of justice, can you throw it to me? I'm going to put on Mr. Wayne. Oh, please don't. I like The Flash a lot because of Michael Keaton. If he wasn't in that, I would enjoy it, but not as much. But I really did. It had all the right feels to it.
Yeah, so sometimes his stuff was a little too on the nose, but...
Yeah.
I did like, I'm guessing that they recreated the sets. I don't think they went back to any original places, but because some of the sets kind of look the same, but not quite, like when they go into the checkerboard thing and the kitchen looked the same, everything kind of looked the same, but I know that I don't think they went back to the original spots, but it was kind of nice.
Right. Yeah.
Like the kitchen. Yeah.
The The thing I'll say about The Flash is two things. One was I did enjoy that you could tell some of the reshot scenes after Ezra's controversies where he's like, yeah, mental health, we're not really too good at dealing with that yet. So that was kind of tongue in cheek. But I felt like they overplayed on the Ezra Miller, Barry Allen awkwardness, like a little too much. So where you're like, okay.
Yeah, long haired Ezra is a little too.
Yeah, right.
I was going to use a word that we probably shouldn't. But just kind of like, it was like, oh, you are unlikable.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. He didn't need to do that.
But he was also supposed to be unlikable as that second character.
But there are little things, though, that are like, I don't know, they're humorous. It almost borders on a comedy. Like when they're flying on the bat plane and they see Supergirl, and he just goes over and takes the picture with his phone. And he's like, "What are you doing? Like, of course you would do that. I would take a picture if you see." So, some of it was kind of funny.
My favorite moment was obviously he. Are we spoiling things? I don't know. Do people even care? If you haven't watched The Flash by now, you're not going to see The Flash, or you're not going to matter. So when he takes an old Batman cowl and mask and makes it into his own. So when they're on the plane and he turns, but the mask doesn't turn with them, so it's his eyes, which, because the original Batman in 89, that's why Batman was always turning his whole body, because he couldn't turn his head.
Right. Yeah, it was all one suit. Yeah.
But so one, it's a little in joke, if you know that, and two, it's just kind of, it's a funny.
It is funny, yeah. Visual. Yeah, that was the thing. He couldn't turn his, he had to move his the body. That's why it was shot very like, you see that.
So it's hard because Ezra is honestly, he's not a good guy. So, but
right.
he did a good job.
He did a good job. And I do love the montage of all the different Supermans, like George Reeves and Nicolas Cage.
Supergirl.
I thought that was kind of cool. That's going to tie into our next segment, though. I'm going to add The Flash to that list. That's a movie that should have ended sooner. That was like the third act was like 20 minutes too long, I thought.
And I feel now we're used to the elongated, you know, is this the end? You know, how, you know.
Right. Is this the end? Oh, it's not.
Dude, are we going to get bigger? You know, is there going to be a shaft of blue light that's going to destroy the world again? And maybe that's the thing. Like, this Zod, Michael Shannon Zod, is not as beloved as original. You know, like, he's not that great a villain that we have to keep bringing him back.
I thought the same thing.
You know,
like Man of Steel was fine, and you know, it was the right amount. But they brought him back, and he kind of felt like an afterthought in The Flash, like unnecessary.
They should have brought Terrence Stamp Zod CGI. Then I'd be like.
Yes.
If you're gonna start messing with the universes, you bring the three, you know, Kryptonians back from the original Superman 2, and
yeah,
then I'd be excited because then you kind of mixing up the universes, you know, real world versus road rules. I'm like, oh, they should have been together. Yeah,
and it would be on the same plateau. You're mixing up the past, so why not? Yeah.
Why? Or.
Eric Stoltz was great as Marty McFly.
Yeah, which is fine, but I think that joke was told four times. You know, like
four
at some
times.
Point it was like, yeah, like, all right.
Yeah.
That's
and they're like,
enough,
family but, ties, Kevin Bacon. And they're like, what? And then they went back to Back to the Future. He's like, Marty McFly, Back to the Future, played by Michael J. Fox. It's like, we know. He said, he told us that like four times. I'm like, oh my gosh.
But they should have just brought back Nuclear Man.
With the same effects though as in 1987.
Well, some of these effects were not too, you know.
True.
Anyway, but yeah, so it's I'll watch it again sometime, I think. But it's an airplane watch. If you have nothing, you know.
Yeah, good call.
So what have you been watching besides The Flash?
Just The Flash three times. Yeah. I'm on every 5 years, I usually rewatch The Sopranos. So I'm on that again, which is always nice.
Gotcha.
So I'm on season three, which season one and two are my favorite. You know, I was always partial to two, three, and nine or eight, whatever the last one was. 6. I don't know.
It's a long time.
But 1 and 2, I think, are really solid. Yeah. I watched Frost Nixon again, which I've always liked movies. Like I watched Friday the other week and like Marvin's Room, like plays that were adapted into movies. Yep. So you can tell Frost Nixon, I mean, that was a play. And they brought Frank Langella was in the theatrical production. So it was cool they brought him back. It's one of those things where, have you seen Frost Nixon?
Yeah. And I think now that you're saying that, I feel like I saw a stage version of that as well.
Oh, cool.
Not too long ago.
Oh, that's a treat.
Yeah.
It's, I think Frank Langella is just a great stage actor. And it's one of those movies where he doesn't look anything like Nixon, but you don't think about that at all because he's just so, he nails it, like the sometimes, mannerisms. And
yeah, that doesn't matter. You know,
it doesn't matter. Kind of have it's the heart so of it. Great.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the movie's just okay, but it's more of his performance and realizing that this really did happen. And those are based on actual interviews, and it got really, really awkward, and it was kind of interesting. I watched Sarah Harding. How many Sarahs did you throw out there? I did watch The Lost World again. I rarely visit it. I rarely visit that movie, but I watched, I think, the first one again, obviously, and I was like, all right, I'm gonna get it out of the way so I can say I seen it again. But
oh, and just think that she was in Shortcuts, having her pantsless performance, and then 4 years later,
Sarah,
Julianne Moore. Come on!
I've been on too many safaris with rich dentists to tell them to keep your feet. Okay. So I watched The Lost World,
downtown Park. Burbank, getting
right. Yeah, getting messed beat up.
Yeah. Does it?
Such a weird title, The Lost World, Jurassic Park.
Yeah. I don't, it's one of those I haven't seen it in a long time, but every once in a while, like, oh, maybe I wasn't unfair. And then I get to it, I'm like, no, this doesn't make, a lot of it just doesn't make sense at some point.
No, it doesn't. And there's a reasons for a lot of it, as you know, that they just cut scenes out, but mm-hmm. Yeah, makes you angry.
San Diego. Yeah. I don't know.
So yeah, and that's it. Oh, and I watched White Man Can't Jump. It's not a good movie.
I think I might have seen that when it came out, but
no. Oh really? Yeah, it wasn't good. I mean, I think I might have saw it. I have seen it before. I think I was a kid, but it was on like Hulu, and I was like, because there's a new one that came out. Like I guess they decided it was a good idea to remake it. So I watched the old one, and yeah, it's just not good. I don't know. It's weird. But yeah, that's it. That's what you've been watching, folks. Tell us, tweet us at the on X at the _podcast and tell us what you think.
If you're like, The Lost World is great.
Lost World is fantastic. Okay, so we have a segment here. Just wanted to jump into, I was thinking about this. This is kind of an idea we've been playing around with, but these are just some ones off the top of our heads of movies that should have ended sooner. And I feel like we just talked about The Flash, but that's like a good example. There could have been like one or two different endings in the one they took. I don't know. What do you think? Inception's the first one that comes to mind.
Yeah.
When I saw that movie originally, and then I rewatched it, it should have ended differently or sooner. There's just so many weird layers going on.
Yeah. For The Flash, right? I was okay. And maybe because I was just kind of in it to, I didn't care enough. I'm just like, that, you know, I was like, yeah, I don't mind kind of simmering in it because I'm like, probably because if I saw it in the theater, then I might have been like, all right, this has gone on to kind of too long. But
yeah. Yeah. I think in the theater is what I think probably why I originally felt that way. It's not so bad at home, but the theater, you're like, okay, it's kind of a long draw, what they're doing. But by the way, what's going to happen to Ezra Miller now that he's probably not going to return as the Flash? Is he going to like recover?
So this is hard. WB, like here's like WB had been in trouble. So and obviously, yeah. They got the big cash cow of Barbie now. So we'll kind of see.
Oh, you will be seeing a lot more of Barbie.
See what happens. I don't know. that, and I guess who knows with all, I mean, obviously we're at a standstill that there's going to be a lot of ripple effects until the strike is over. Even once the strike is over, there's going to be a lot of ripple effects to see what kind of happens next. But yeah, I don't know. Obviously,
you're not going to see any more production this year. I mean,
no,
it's going to be next summer when you start seeing new movies really come out. It's going to be a long time.
I'm hoping we kind of go back to, I would love to kind of revisit a little bit of the 90s into small films, small budgets, you know, lower investments, you know, like maybe we can get back to those films. I don't know. Will audiences show up? I don't know. But I feel like that's important.
Yeah, right.
The good call. Good bad of Barbie and Oppenheimer is that it kind of keeps reinforcing, even though these aren't superhero movies, is like, and I get it. It's a business. You need tentpole movies to support everything else that you do.
Right, right. But still, yeah, you're absolutely right. They're more of these big blow-up, less artistic. Not that they're not artistic, but smaller scale films. Yeah. To support.
And I'll say maybe I like Barbie, but it probably went on a little bit too long, too. It could have used
a little bit of
editing, kind of cinch it up.
Yeah, yeah. Tighten it up a little bit. Less,
Make
it more squeaky clean.
Inception, too. I know people also kind of like to, I think now that particular director gets kind of carte blanche, do whatever he wants, obviously. But sometimes you need an editor to kind of like, let's bring it in a little bit, you know.
Right, right. Bring it in a little bit. That's a problem a lot with directors. It's also a solution when you have the director hands on with the editing because they know they obviously know what they want their vision to look like and they want to see it through. But there is a point where you do need an editor to look at it and go, the pacing's fine, but it's a little too long or something like that. So,
what was it? Was the Irishman? Is that what?
Yeah, 3 hours. It's tough. It's tough. It's tough too to when you're dealing with biopics. There's so you know you only have one chance to make it. You want to include everything. That's like why I'm so excited and curious to see Napoleon, because I mean you could take any year of his life and make that a movie. There's too much material, so that's why a lot of people go miniseries and things like that, but you know, that's why sometimes you have these long movies. It's like you need to have discretion about what you're going to cut, and they want to keep everything in and it just doesn't work.
Or earn your 3 hours, because I know we're obviously talking on kind of this side of the movies, but I think about Casino and Titanic, which are 3 hours, and they earn their time, you know?
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
It stays watchable.
Good call.
Pretty much throughout, but anyway. So,
yeah.
Yeah, I also see you listed AI, which is...
AI. It's like Inception, AI, and King Kong are on this list, and they're all those directors
I'll get to King Kong, but AI is one of those you could have just chopped off the end.
And, chopped off the end and left it. Yeah, ended at Coney Island. Why not?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And it's ambiguous. That's it. But when they did like the extra layer of the future aliens, you're like, and then they clone her, but she dies.
Yeah.
It's like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
And I like AI too. As bad as that movie is, I like the polar ice caps and the futuristic dystopian feel to it. But it could have been a lot cleaner.
Yeah. DVD extra. That's all you need. You know, chop it off.
DVD extra. No, was AI Stanley Kubrick going to direct it, but he passed away?
He wrote, I don't know if he ever really intended to direct. That was kind of the rumor that, or he kind of passed it off to Spielberg to kind of take it. But yeah, you can definitely kind of see his
imprint.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Within that. But I don't think he would have made the movie that Spielberg did either. So I think he would have had a much darker vision, so I'd be kind of curious to see what he would have done with that. So
yeah, good call.
I think as soon as I said that, I think I remember I gave Rob Zombie's Halloween I think my review at the time was like, it was like watching just a move of all DVD extras thrown together.
Just throw them all in there.
Yeah,
just sequence them,
make it a movie. Yeah.
Make it a movie.
So Funny People, I don't, is this the
Adam Sandler?
Or okay, then no, I've not.
So you know, it's a comedy, but it's not a slapstick true comedy. It's about comedians, but Adam Sandler and Seth Rogen in there, are they make it funny?
Gotcha.
But it's almost 2 hours long, and it feels 2 hours long. There's a lot of unnecessary scenes in there. And it's a good cast, and it's not a bad movie, but it's about 20, 25 minutes too long.
Too long, yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry, yeah. Fellas.
Sorry, now, fellas.
You also put Django Unchained.
Hey, hey, hey.
That was more hey, hey, hey.
Hey, hey, hey. Oh, okay. Yeah, I was wondering what that was.
That was my comments, yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of long, right?
It is, but I still...
It's a good movie. Oh, yeah.
So Tarantino's are usually... It's a little overlong. Same thing. He could probably... who was his editor that passed away? I know people kind of recognize...
Sally Minkus?
Yeah, when she stopped, that his films might have got a little bit more bloated than usual. But I'll give him a little bit. Kind of, okay. There's a few director auteurs where I'm like, okay, you can you do what you want. You kind of.
Who was Tarantino's editor?
Is that who? I cannot remember. It was
Sally Mink.
Yeah.
Mankey. Yeah, she passed away. She was the one that did like all of them before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but
Pulp
I.
Pulp Fiction.
Yeah. I should have brought. I do have a Django Unchained figure.
Oh, do you really?
Yes.
Is it Django?
It is.
Oh, it's so cool.
Grab it real quick. I can see it across the room.
Please.
Hold one.
Please. Don't forget to tweet us at the _podcastle and check us out on Instagram at the podcastle. Also like us on Facebook. Always interested in hearing your thoughts.
Useless stuff that I buy.
No such thing. Oh, that's so cool. It looks just like them. They did a really good job.
They do a good job. Look at the costume.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, everything is.
I love the Colt 45.
The scarf, everything.
This is so detailed.
Yeah.
How big is it?
It's probably 10 inches or
yeah, 10 that's 20. Good.
Yeah. So.
Wow.
I think
the
they
hat's
did a good
great.
Job. So yeah, I just love the
coat.
Yeah.
Job.
So, the double belt.
Yeah.
The,
perfect.
The belt and the Gunslinger belt. So, I'm a '90s person, so I remember I had pants that had double belts as part of the whole.
Sure. Why not? Thing.
Yeah. So
yeah.
Anyway, so yeah, I have my
so
Django,
cool.
So anyway,
Django.
What else did we? Oh, so you had Joker, which
yeah.
Did you think it was too long, or do you think it should have sliced off the
sliced off
end?
I love Joker. I thought that was such a fantastic movie. I've seen it a few times. It's one of those movies you can't watch too much. It is very dark, but I did love Joker. I feel like they could have shaved off some stuff.
Well, how would I have known how Bruce Wayne's parents died?
Point taken. That's it. Like that stuff. Like, come on. It's not even about him.
Yeah.
It's not even a Bruce Wayne movie.
I do remember in the theater because I was like, I was like, I'm really liking this. I kind of know why there was the hype, you know, whatever. And then I saw a little Bruce leaving the theater. I'm like, oh my God.
Right. When you see that, you're like, come on.
Am I having a nightmare?
Even Spider-Man knew, like, you don't have to show Uncle Ben in every movie now. And
yeah. Every time. Like, what happened?
You
like,
I know. It's just so funny. They always have that.
I know. And it's almost, it's not shot for shot, but it feels like that because we've seen so many versions of the pearls and everything. And
right. Always the pearls flying. Yeah. And
I was just,
so I great.
Know. One of these times they should just have something. It's like the pearls don't snap off. And you're like, these aren't real. You know, like.
Yeah. Oh gosh, but yeah, but Joker.
Martha
is
Wayne can't afford real pearls.
King Kong, 2005. This is when Peter Jackson, after Lord of the Rings, they were like, "You can do whatever you want." And he's like, "I'm gonna do a 3-hour version of King Kong."
Hold my beer.
hold my beer.
I was excited. Obviously, I'm a big fan of King Kong '76, and of course,
yeah.
But so I was like, "Yeah, let's see what he's gonna do with this." And I remember it was Christmas Day. I think I had my friends go to the theater, and I just remember sinking farther and farther down in my seat. I'm like, this is awful. The effects are awful. Nothing is right. Nothing's, you know, like, this is not even special. And it just kept going on and on and on. I was like,
it was like, so bad.
Yeah.
What do you remember, like, when they were in the pit and the bugs? There's like a few scenes where, like, it's slow motion bugs and they're shooting them. That scene went on for like 15 minutes and you're like, we get it. We get it.
Yeah.
Like, there's creatures that it just kept going on. And you're like,
the 33 version had better effects. You know, Jack Black pretending running.
Oh yeah.
Guess what? Yeah. I was like, ugh. And okay, and so now
I'll
rarely
watch the 33 version before this one.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Oh yeah.
All any of the versions. So
yeah, well, I'll watch 76 before anything. But
I think I shared this before, but you know, on April Fool's Day, it used to be, it's kind of less of a thing now, but you know, websites would have funny made up stories or whatever. And I knew it was April 1st, but I somehow believed it that they made this announcement that Peter Jackson was going to be releasing a condensed version of King Kong, you know, like,
I remember.
I was like, oh, that's good because, blah, 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 and I don't, and then later it's like, no, that's April 1st. I remember that. It's a good idea. It's a good idea.
Right. It's a good idea. Oh my! Yeah, I was with you when that originally came out. You're very excited, and you're just like, "What is going on?"
Kong. Good.
Kong. I did like the size of Kong. They like proportioned him differently, and I thought that was fine. They didn't make him like, you know, 80 feet tall. But it's just not good.
Yeah. Parts of Kong, even though some of the effects are pretty bad, but parts are. Kong itself is good, but it was also during that, even like AI and stuff like that, this kind of weird blown out of semi-soft focus that directors were doing and can still kind of do sometimes. I'm like, I don't know if it's because of the effects, but I'm like, it's just not pretty to look at.
Right. No, they did that a lot in New York when they have like the old cars in the streets. It just a little too soft focus and it just didn't look good.
A lot of people were talking old timey. You know,
but. yeah, that was almost like a character.
Yeah, I was like, oh no,
yeah, Kong. But that's the list. Oh, and
I added Jedi. One more, The Last Jedi, which same thing. Like there, one there's a they could have taken out the whole middle casino sequence for sure, was kind of unnecessary and not part of the thing, or they could just lopped off the whole end where they're on what Salt Planet, like
right that whole battle.
I don't even do this on Earth. If I'm on another planet, I would just stick whatever's on the ground in my mouth and say, what is it? You know, like, unless you're, what was the Prometheus? Was that Alien Covenant where people are like, I think it's fine. Let's take off our mask.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You get everything you deserved. But
right. When Skywalker comes out to face the whole fleet, and there's that whole like, transaction going on.
Yeah, and I'm just like, yeah. So probably it's like it would have been. There's not too much good at all in that movie, but it could have been served better by doing an end free episode. Now we're gonna go to another planet.
Right. Yeah, there was a lot of jumping around, and that casino sequence. It was like a James Bond thing going on with the smugglers, and it's just like so much.
I just someone's it's like I don't know. But
No, I'm with you.
Oh no, I'm saying no to that.
No to that one. There's more, but I'm glad that we at least threw a few out there.
Yeah.
How long is Popeye, by the way?
I don't know. I think I'll look that up right now. But it's one of those like it. You do run out of steam. 114 minutes. So.
Okay.
It feels about 2 hours and 15. But
feels like. It's like the Oscars, and like, who will win? Who should win? You know, it's like, feels like, is.
Yeah. It's just, Popeye it's just not really pretty to look at either.
It's not, even with the sets?
Yeah, the set, everything's dreary, intentionally dreary, you know, but they could have done it differently, but yeah.
I've noticed that on the, when I was watching some of the songs, the YouTube clips, it's like a little grainy and dreary looking for a cartoon.
Yeah.
You know, which the cartoon had a lot of that, but it's still, it could have had some filter effects used better.
So, anyway.
Anyway. Okay. So next we have Guess the Movie by Tagline. And what is this? This is a special edition?
Yes. So.
Wow.
I had an idea. So I'm going to give you the first tagline. So this is an easy one that you should be able to guess. This won't necessarily mean this is the year I'm doing, but it might mean something else. So you tell me when you are ready.
All right. So we're going for a little bit of loop here.
You ready?
No. I need 10 minutes to meditate.
Okay.
Theatrically prepare myself.
Look up every tagline and... And here we go.
Go. This hands is like, are free. Let's do it.
Magnolia, the quiz show. Are you ready?
I'm ready, sir.
They saved the best for last.
No. Freddy's Dead. Classic.
Freddy's Dead. Nightmare on Elm Street, Part 6. So here's what we're doing. We're doing the big three. We're doing Elm Street, Halloween, and Friday the 13th.
Ooh,
all the sequels.
Okay.
And all their taglines. So as you through, obviously, no movies doubled up or anything like that. So so pretty much all the those three franchises, all the taglines or the taglines that I chose from them.
I like it.
So there
I like
you go. It. So could be easy. Could be, I don't know.
Yeah. No, I think I'm going to crash and burn, but I'm ready. Let's do it.
Some are easier than others. So
I like it. That's a great idea. So these are taglines from the sequels of Friday, Halloween, and Elm Street.
And their originals as well. So.
Okay. Okay.
The night he came home.
Halloween, the first film.
Halloween 1.
Yes.
The Big Apple's in big trouble.
The Jason Takes Manhattan.
Friday the Jason Takes Manhattan. Correct.
New and the other one was New York has a new problem.
Yeah, it was kind of two. I was like, which one do I choose?
The Big Apple. So you know what I love
choice.
Though?
Yeah.
Is that the New York has a new problem? It implies like, yo, it's the 80s. It's New York. It's a bad city right now. You know what I mean? I think
Rudy Giuliani can take care of this.
I think people drew ire from that too. Like, you know, New York was not the place you want to be in 1988.
No, as evidenced on. Times Square was not a fun place in 88.
No.
All right. That might get a little bit more difficult. Because sometimes these could be in movies. Evil finds its way home.
The original Halloween 2?
No. The original subtitle for this particular sequel was called Homecoming, but it was...
H2O?
No.
The original subtitle was Homecoming?
Correct. Blank Homecoming.
Okay. Okay. So, Halloween Season of the Witch?
It is Halloween Resurrection.
Oh, okay. So, I should know that. I saw that.
It's one of those, if I didn't, you know, and granted, but yeah, at the one point it was called Halloween Homecoming, which is probably a little bit better. Title, but anyway,
yeah. But we all love Resurrection.
It's a movie. She's the only one who can stop it. If she fails, no one survives.
She's the only one that can stop it. If she fails, no one survives. Well, it's definitely A Nightmare on Elm Street.
It is,
and it's going to be. It's not the Dream Child. It's going to be a new nightmare? No. I can't guess anymore. I've already guessed. Like
all right.
I'm going to say it's the first one.
It is the first one.
Okay.
So
Nancy and okay.
Yeah.
For some reason, I thought it was a different one, but I'm sure they have multiple.
They do kind of, yeah. And some of them, like I said, could be forever. The other one that they often use as well is if Nancy doesn't wake up screaming, she won't wake up at
all. Okay. Yeah. That's the one I'm most familiar with. But
So
that's a good one. I like it. Okay.
Family is forever.
Family is forever. It's definitely Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to say it is Rob Zombie's Halloween 2.
Absolutely correct.
Oh,
good job.
It helps to put your, once you guess the franchise.
Yeah.
Then, yeah. You're but like, these can bleed anyway, though. I mean, I know there's some that are.
You know, I almost threw in the Texas Chainsaw franchise, too, because they have a lot of similar family stuff. But I thought, no, we'll just do the big three. So,
I would be really bad at that.
If Jason still haunts you, you're not alone.
Definitely Halloween.
If Jason was like, what? You sound like one of my coworkers. Like,
if Jason still haunts you, definitely not alone.
If Jason still haunts you, you're not alone.
Friday the 13th, Part 5, A New Beginning?
That is correct.
Yes.
Good job. He was.
I get money for these, right?
Temporarily dead. Yes, a shiny quarter for everyone.
Okay, a silver dollar, a Lincoln dollar.
I should have. You know, I took that's the line Diane Ladd had in Christmas Vacation.
And nice.
So that Rusty kind of rub her feet and whatever, and tell Audrey there's a shiny quarter for her too. I should have had her sign that. But anyway.
Oh, Diane Ladd.
If you think you'll get out of life, you must be dreaming.
If you think you'll get out alive, you must be dreaming.
Correct.
So it's definitely a Nightmare on Elm Street, and it's going to be part two, the return. No. Then I'm going to say it's Dream Warriors.
It is Dream Warriors.
Which is the fourth one?
Third one.
Third one.
How dare you.
Fourth one
I was feeling
Dream
so good
Master,
about
right?
your answer, and then you just...
I ruined it.
You ruined it.
Dream
Warriors. I'm taking back that quarter.
Okay. I won't get a quarter then. I won't get an Omaha quarter.
You'll get 1 sixpence for...
a tuppence. Please.
Evil has finally found a home. It's a tough one.
It is a tough one. Evil has finally... It's Halloween. No. Evil has finally found a home. All right, then I'm just going to go with Friday the 13th, part two.
It is a Friday the 13th, but it is Jason Goes to Hell.
Oh, okay. That makes sense. Okay.
Yeah, it is kind of like, yeah.
Yeah.
Who knows? You have to remember these posters and the kind of movie trailers, sometimes they're promising you stuff they really don't fulfill.
Right. That's true. With the worm. I get it. Yep. Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. Going to hell is home. It's a good quiz.
Jason is back. And this is the one you've been screaming for.
Oh, I know this one. Friday the 13th, part 6, Jason Lives.
Jason is incorrect.
Jason is back, and this is the one you've been screaming for. Okay. Friday the 13th, part 7. No.
I'll give you a hint. Jason is back, and this is the one you've been screaming for.
Oh, new final chapter?
The final chapter. Yes.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So that was the kind of
it's interesting.
Verbal
it makes
tagline.
Sense.
Yeah. So.
The reason I was thinking is Jason is back implies he's been around the franchise for a while. But, okay, yeah.
Another, I remember one of the alternate ones is like, Friday, April 13th will be Jason's unlucky day.
Right, okay, yeah.
Which is like, this is it! We're never going to see him again.
He's done, folks.
Yeah.
Interesting. Good one, though. Good one.
Join Jason in the woods, if you dare.
If you dare. Friday the 13th, part 7.
That is incorrect.
Friday. It can't be 3.
It is 3.
Is it?
It is.
Join Jason in the woods if you dare. Okay. So they introduced the mask and join him in the woods. Makes sense. Okay.
Yeah.
Higgins Haven.
Yeah. Where else would you go for your.
Where else would you go? And this deformed man was following me.
He dragged me to the ground.
He dragged me to the ground.
This summer, terror won't be taking a vacation.
This summer, terror won't be taking a vacation.
I hate this tagline. But
is it Friday the 13th, 2009?
It is not.
This summer, terror won't be taking a vacation. Okay. It's Halloween.
No. It is.
Is it in the summertime?
It is. It is. That's why I hate it.
Okay. Then it would be The Curse of Michael Myers.
It is Halloween H2O.
Oh, okay. Okay, because they're school and
only. No, it's because it's being released in the summer, and this is why I hate it. Because I'm like, it has nothing to do with the movie. It has
You're
to do
right.
with the release date. And so I just do not like, for such a, one of my favorite Halloween entries that it was like, what?
Like, that's a good point. It's like putting the name Chevy Chase in the Vacation tagline. Yeah. Like, Chevy Chase hates Vacation. It's like,
this is his wildest vacation yet. I'm like, well, it's not really his vacation.
So H2O's, one of the taglines was this summer, because it's coming out this summer.
That was the main tagline, because it was released in August. And it was just like, what?
I do remember I was with Brad and Dave when we saw that theatrically. And it was the first Halloween I've ever seen theatrically. And that opening scene with the newspaper clippings and the... Oh, it was so good. It was so exciting. But
And I have half of those clippings right over here.
Oh, it's so cool. Yeah.
But yeah, so one of my favorite movies, but yeah, just not a good tagline. So
no.
All right. Kill or be killed. Exclamation point.
It would be Nightmare on Elm Street Dream Master.
That is incorrect.
Kill or be killed.
Doesn't quite fit the movie, but go ahead.
Let's go with Halloween 2.
That is incorrect.
Okay, I'm out of guesses.
Friday the 13th, part 6, Jason Lives.
Oh, interesting.
So it is strange. Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, so it's a strange Forest one.
Forest Green.
That was one of, yeah.
Kill or be killed.
Yeah. Kind of makes it, and part of the thing, it makes it think it's going to be something else, but
yeah, that's a good one though. This is a good quiz. It's a good loop.
Similarly, Michael Lives. Oops, wait, let me come back to that one. So
Michael Lives.
I'm sorry. Well, I think I wrote it. Yeah, Michael Lives, and this time they're ready.
Michael Lives.
Yeah.
Okay.
I want to make sure I wrote it down right, because I feel like I'm missing a line.
Michael Lives, and this time they'll be ready.
Yep. There's a dot, dot, dot. Michael Lives, dot, dot, dot. And this time they're ready.
Curse of Michael Myers?
That is incorrect.
Then it would be The Revenge of Michael Myers.
It is The Revenge of Michael Myers.
There it is.
So similarly, like a lot of the ads were like, you know, and this time they're ready. And, the TV spots had, you know, all this cops and looks like a SWAT team coming out, whatever. And they're like, oh, this is going to be them ganging. And like literally that is pretty much all you see of it in the entire movie is those 10 seconds of all the cops swarming around.
Oh, yeah.
Like, well, it's not really that, is it? So
my favorite line, it's 4, right? Where he says, I got 30 beer bellies with shotguns out there. Look, like beer belly. So wait, 4 is Halloween part 4, The Revenge.
Halloween the 5 is 5 is The Revenge. 4 is,
4
the,
is
return.
The Return.
Yeah.
6 is The Curse.
That is correct.
Okay. Okay. You don't like 5.
I do not.
Right. Okay.
I would
leave us alone.
Yeah, that's in 4, but yeah, leave us alone.
That is in 4. Okay.
Halloween 5 is the Tina. Tina. Freddy Delivers.
That would be Nightmare on Elm Street, The Dream Child.
That is correct. Elm Street 5, The Dream Child.
5. Yes.
With the Jurassic Park boy.
Yeah. Good call.
10 years ago, he changed the face of Halloween. Now he's back.
10 years ago, he changed the face of Halloween. Well, it's not 1 or 2. So it's going to be The Curse of Michael Myers? No.
The Return of Michael Myers.
So 5 took place 10 years after...
4 took place 10 years after. 5 took place a year after.
Oh, we didn't do 4 already.
No, you mentioned 4.
Okay. Okay. That makes sense. Perfect sense. Because 4 was 10 years after Halloween 2. After he burned in that hospital.
Yes. Well.
Which is when his supernatural powers really started, because I don't know how you survived that.
Well, and same with Dr. Loomis, but.
Right. Yeah, Loomis. I like that he drank in the car, though, during the day. He's like, fuck it, I'm owning
who
this.
Would? Yeah, that's what drinking and doctoring he learned from Dr. Chalice.
Yeah.
That's
a good one.
Yeah. You don't believe in the boogeyman? you should.
Halloween 2, the original?
For some people, this is a Halloween 2.
Okay, so Rob Zombie's Halloween 2?
No, this would be Halloween 2018.
Oh, okay. All right. The non-continuity.
Yep, so.
Retcon of.
Yeah.
What was the tagline again?
I'm going to have to go back to it.
No, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I was like, literally, I was erasing it as I went along, so.
Oh, okay. That's good, though. It's already a good one.
Oh, you don't believe in the boogeyman? You should, which is her line in the movie.
Right, okay. Makes sense. Perfect sense.
Winner kills all.
Winner kills all. Freddy versus Jason?
It is Freddy versus Jason.
Mm. With the girl from Destiny's Child.
Ugh, God, I haven't talked about that. Terror.
That's funny.
Oh, yes, go ahead.
I was going to say about that movie and a lot of those movies is the stereotypes of jocks in these horror movies where they're like doing like the worst things ever, like drinking and like raping and like burning things and like no regard. Like, and remember in The Rage, Carrie 2, where you're like, you guys are like arch criminals. You know what I mean? Like, not every jock is a psychopath.
No. At these high schools, they are. Oof.
Right. I know. That's a funny movie where there's like the buckets and they're going through the burnt down school and The Rage.
I still love that.
And they're like, did it just burn down like a week ago? And they just left it there?
Surprised they haven't cleaned this up yet. And like, well, all right.
Just hanging out.
I'm sure the town just like, no, just leave it.
Wait, leave this whole property here.
Constantly remember.
Right.
Terror never rests in peace.
Terror never rests in peace. That would be.
This is kind of a tough one. It doesn't really.
New Nightmare?
No.
Terror never rests in peace. Can you give me what franchise it is?
It is the Halloween franchise.
Oh, okay. Terror never rests in peace. The Curse of Michael Myers.
It is the Curse of Michael Myers. Halloween 6.
Halloween 6, yes.
Yes.
Good call.
Evil has a destiny.
Evil has a destiny. Evil has a destiny. I'm going to go with Halloween franchise.
Correct.
And we're going to go with Halloween Part 3, Season of the Witch.
It is not.
No. Evil. What is it again? Evil has a destiny?
Yes.
Rob Zombie's Halloween.
That is correct.
Okay. Okay.
Which is like, we're going to tell you the entire backstory, whether you like it or not.
Whether you wanted this or not, we're telling you everything.
I got another evil one here for you.
Okay. Okay.
Evil dies tonight.
Evil dies tonight. Halloween ends.
Well,
Halloween. Wait, evil dies tonight. Halloween kills?
Halloween kills, yeah.
Halloween kills.
Yes.
Evil dies tonight. Cream corn tonight.
I forgot about cream corn tonight.
Cream corn tonight. That's when they kill the children of the corn.
All the children. Yeah.
Children of the corn. College.
Jason is back, but this time someone's waiting.
Friday the 13th, Part 7, a new beginning.
The new blood.
New blood.
Yeah.
Tina.
Tina.
Cruz. What's the Terry Crews? What's
Bad
the guy's
news
name?
Cruz.
Bad news.
Cruz.
What was the reason it was the guy's birthday? The next door we're partying.
Yeah. 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 Nick's birthday. I can't remember. So yeah.
Yeah.
As always is the case. Do you always go out to the cabin for?
Yeah. Yeah, whenever there's a party, we're always.
Yeah. And everybody spends the night too. Like.
Right, and there's only six people though, but it looks like there's going to be a lot more.
Yeah.
Yeah. Spend the night.
The nightmare isn't over.
Nightmare on Elm Street 2. The sequel.
That is incorrect.
Nightmare isn't over. Wes Craven's New Nightmare?
That is incorrect.
I give up.
Halloween 2.
Oh, Oh, good call.
Little trick there. Not trick, but...
The first Halloween 2, right?
Yeah, Halloween 2, 1981, so... Ugh,
I should know that. That's my favorite movie in Halloween.
Or the other tagline would have been, all new.
All new.
Which is also one of the taglines for Jaws 3D. All new.
All new.
In case you don't know.
All new. In case you weren't sure.
Yeah.
It's all new.
Terror beyond your wildest dreams.
So Nightmare on Elm Street. The Dream Master?
That is correct. Elm Street for the Dream Master.
The Dream Master. Which one is it where at the end, the little miniature house, the light goes on?
Elm Street 3.
3.
Okay. Dream Warriors.
What was the end of 4?
She puts a mirror in front of his face and he sees himself and it's like, and all the little arms come out and then.
Oh, right, right, right.
Yeah. And then her and Dan are at Mulholland Fountain.
Right. They look in the reflection. There's
a little, yeah. So, which is a big fountain for Springwood, Ohio.
In Griffith Park, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
So, or outside of Griffith Park. Yep.
Yeah.
I had a couple to choose from here and they're all kind of tells you what it does, but. Their saga ends.
The Hollywood strike of 2023.
Yes.
Their saga ends?
Yes.
Okay, so let's go with their saga ends?
Yes.
Is the tagline.
The title may or may not be in the tagline.
So
it's one of those I really had no. They all gave it away. For Pete's sakes.
I don't know.
Their saga ends.
Halloween ends?
Halloween ends.
I thought we already did that.
You did Halloween Kills.
Oh, okay. Okay. Good call. We need to create shirts with all these taglines on there and wear
I'm
them.
I'm sure there is, but
like every one. I'm gonna do it.
The next tagline I like because I feel like it's appropriate for other movies in the wrong way.
Oh.
You may only see it once, but that will be enough.
You may only see it once, but that will be enough. So it's Friday. It's Nightmare on Elm Street. You may only see it once, but that will be enough.
Yeah.
Meaning like the film?
Correct.
It's a weird tagline.
It is.
Okay. Halloween 2018?
That is incorrect.
I give up.
The alternate tagline is, they were warned, they are doomed, and on blank, nothing will save them.
The original Friday the 13th?
The original Friday the 13th.
What was that one? You may only see it
once. You may only see it once, but that will be enough. So I think this was kind of a time when they were doing kind of fear, like
you're gonna die.
Shit your pants once you see this.
Oh, got it. Yeah, so. Doomed. Okay. You're all doomed. That's a good one. I like that.
Yeah. So welcome to your new nightmare.
New nightmare, Wes Craven.
That is incorrect.
Then it would have to be the reboot.
That is correct. Nightmare on Elm Street 2010 version.
2010.
Yeah.
You know, I saw it in the theater and there was a baby in there for like the 10:40 showing. It was like 20 minutes into the movie and this kid starts crying. And I look back and it's in a stroller. And I was like, you do know there's like child rape in this movie and like murder, right? Like, Parents of the Year.
Way to go.
It's more so that a child doesn't actually know what's going on screen. It's at the ear of a developing child. It usually would damage it that loud, but hey,
they don't care.
I got free tickets for that show because we complained. We're like, yo, there was a kid crying. And they're like, free tickets to the next show. I'm like, ooh, there will be kids crying in every show this summer now that I know your policy.
Again. Yeah.
That wasn't a good movie, though. Did you like it?
I did not. So there's parts of it I kind of like the look of it. I like Jared Padalecki as the kind of final girl. I used to joke that he had the same hair as Alice in part one, the kind of no-nonsense Bob.
Yeah, the no-nonsense Bob.
But it just didn't quite part of it is kind of like, what were they doing? It's one of the, remember the opening title was like 20 minutes into the movie, and I'm like, wait, what?
Oh, yeah, like, yeah, it was one of those, like Friday the 13th, the reboot.
Yeah. I was like, oh, okay. This
is like, oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot. That's what we're watching.
This is what we're doing here. All right, but yeah. The body count continues.
That's Friday the 13th, part 2.
That is correct.
Yes. Very simplistic poster, I remember.
Yep. Good. It was a good tagline, so.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I like it. I like this quiz.
Yeah. Welcome to Crystal Lake.
2009 reboot.
Correct.
Yes.
Yeah, and for some reason, as you were talking about Elm Street, then I had two, I had Friday the 13th in my head, but yes, so.
Welcome to Crystal Lake.
The man of your dreams is back.
Nightmare on Elm Street Part 2.
That is Freddy's Revenge.
The worst one. That poor parakeet did not just blow up.
I do have love for Elm Street too. So.
No, it is a good movie. Yeah. When they show up in the rain and he's like naked with the cops bring him home. Been there during some drinking nights, haven't we all?
Those Springwood kids.
What was the name of the drug in the franchise?
Part
like
3,
in the,
Hypnocil.
Hypnocil.
Yeah.
One day, I just want a doctor to be like, "I'm going to give you some Hypnocil." Just
and
to
you're like, what? Is that true?
What? Or I should say that to a doctor because they're professional, usually professional people.
Yeah.
You know, I was on Hypnocil for like 6 weeks and it didn't really work for me. What?
See if they're a fan or not. You know.
Hypnocil.
Evil gets an upgrade.
Evil gets an upgrade. Season of the Witch?
It is not Season of the Witch.
Jason X.
Jason X it is.
Friday two completely different ends of the spectrum. 10. Season of the Witch and Jason X. Remember at the end when the cabin falls and the Jason falls into the water on the planet?
Yeah.
And they're like, it went over there. It's shooting star. Let's go investigate. Yeah. And I'm like, who does that? Let's go into the water and investigate this thing that just fell out of the sky.
Well, Crystal Lake kids are not that smart, so.
Even in the new, because it was like Earth 2, right?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I think you're correct. Yeah, because Earth 1 is where they found Jason. This was the better Earth. Yeah.
So. Yes.
Just as dumb of kids.
Yeah, absolutely.
This time, terror doesn't stop at the screen.
This time, terror doesn't stop at the screen. So it's Halloween.
No.
No. This time, terror doesn't stop at the scream.
Screen.
Screen. Oh, screen. Friday the 13th, part.
I will say no.
Okay, so it's not Friday the 13th. So it's Nightmare on Elm Street.
Correct.
And it is part 7.
Correct. New Nightmare.
New Nightmare.
10
okay,
years
that makes
after
sense. Screen, yeah. And it's a movie within a movie. Okay.
Seems so long after the original, but it was only 10 years, which is crazy to think.
It does seem longer. New Nightmare was ahead of its time, too, I think.
It was way ahead of its time, and it was one of my favorites. I just remember seeing it in the theater. I was like, yeah. And next year will be its 30th anniversary, which is crazy. Wow.
That is crazy. Yeah. Where does the time go?
Yeah. All right, last one.
Okay.
The night no one comes home.
So it's Halloween, and it's going to be... we did one, we did two. Season of the Witch.
Season of the Witch.
There it is. So, there it is.
I do like that tagline, because it's...
I like the Silver Shamrock jingle. Yeah, I just wait for the big giveaway at 9.
I'm always ready to watch that.
Oh, yeah. How does the song go again, Silver Shamrock?
Happy, happy Halloween.
Halloween, Halloween, Halloween. Happy, happy Halloween.
What do you mean, how does the song go? It's more addictive than Sweet Haven.
Sweet Haven. That was a great quiz, though. That's a great tagline quiz.
A little bit different, so.
Yeah, no, I like it. It's a good call. Good job on that, Robert. That was fun.
But you're the one that did it. You did a good job.
I did a terrible job, but thank you. Next, we have Blind Man's Bluff, and this is from setjetter.com. Here's the preference, Robert.
Oh, geez.
The post-Scream years were some of my favorite times. It seemed like there was a new slasher every week. I thought, this is what must have been like in the early 80s. This movie was one of the few that stood out in the crowd with a decent premise and good cast.
Urban Legend?
It is Urban Legend. Good call.
Thank you.
And you can, if you're listening, you can check this out while we're doing this on setjitter.com. So Robert, tell us, Urban Legend, if I'm not mistaken, this was all in Canada.
It is a 98 film, so it was probably after Halloween H2O. I'm not sure. I'm thinking it was. So
98, so yeah, September
9th. Yeah, so probably a month after H2O. But I do remember those years, there was a new horror slasher every week. And I was like,
yeah,
we were at the theater. I was like, oh, this is fun. You know, like, I was like, some are good, like some
Scream
are bad.
And yeah. Scream kicked it off. And then there was like Valentine. And
yeah. So about a year after Scream, 97, 98, then we start getting all these kind of good ones.
They were coming out like left and right.
Yep. And just like the 80s, you know, 99, 2000, they all became awful. And you know, they wore out their... their will.
Yeah, they really. Yeah. Like, so, Joyride.
Yeah. So this is shot mostly in Toronto, and this kind of first shot is at one of the University of Toronto's. I think it looks like it's Victoria University's Alumni Hall. So.
And this was also used in something else that we recently talked about.
Yeah, this particular one, I'm not sure. Like nearby, this campus was used in Hannibal, and then the another campus, Humber College. So this is best known as the Police Academy and Police Academy.
Oh, right, so, right. Good call.
So there's a lot of construction when I was visiting, so I couldn't get some good shots. Or I was wandering into construction. They weren't too happy, but I was like, I need the shots.
Can you move that crane, sir?
Next time, yep. So, and then we moved back to University of Toronto for some areas I could get into, some I couldn't, but... it's kind of very gothic looking.
It is. Yeah. It is very gothic looking. It's cool. And
this has also been used extensively in Hannibal, the TV series. This campus was also used in the original Black Christmas as well. So.
Oh, right. I think we've touched on that.
Yeah.
The Quad.
Rebecca Gayheart, real life killer. No, I'm just kidding. Ooh, I didn't say that. So.
You did. We'll edit it out.
Yeah. So, but yeah. So this is kind of a nice campus, I remember, and I got some good
nice
lineup shots here for fans that are interested.
Parts of the same building, but on the entrance is this is still part of St. George.
Yes. So it is.
Yeah, we're
like,
doing some construction.
Yeah, a lot of the buildings kind of all look similar, so it's kind of just kind of matching them up and so forth. But
oh, nice job! Yeah. Great shot.
Yeah, and I'm one of those that I go, obviously, for every frame, which gets to be a little bit much. People are like, yeah, I get it. It's the same building.
No, keep doing that. Yeah. It's great. It gives you context.
Yeah. So if you go down a few photos, we go back to Humber College, because it's one of my favorites, is where they have the party. This one right here. So.
Oh, yeah. Great shot.
So this is right on the same campus as Police Academy. And in Police Academy, this was the sergeant's house or something. Remember, his wife is taking a shower and he goes in and something happens.
Oh, like, yeah.
In Police Academy. So that's the same location in Police Academy.
Oh, that's so cool. You couldn't get into the radio station.
No, that was closed up that day. So somewhere in there, you can kind of tell what it looks like by the
building.
I think it was there on a Sunday or something like that. So.
Oh, nice work on that, though, to find it.
Yeah. But
back to Building G at Humber.
And the finale all more or less takes place at the, I just call it the Police Academy, but.
Yeah, no, that's a great page. This is a cool one.
Yeah.
So, I think we might have done this a long time ago, but you can't lie, blind man's bluff. We're honest people.
Yeah, we know what we're doing, cards so. Fell. But, and I've met a few of the cast. Alicia Witt.
Oh, you have, haven't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, right at the bottom.
Where was this at, Robert? That's a great shirt, by the way. Escape from New York.
It is Escape from Horror Hound. She did there. So, and actually, I'm a fan of that. But she was also in Omaha for Citizen Ruth. She was in Citizen Ruth. So, Tara Reid and Michael Rosenbaum.
Oh yeah.
Brad Dourif, of course. Danielle Harris. Look, I put a logo right over her face. And then
I gotta see that.
Second picture, I'm like, I wasn't paying attention, but
no, it's all good.
And Robert Englund. So they had a good cast. I mean, this was
it was a good cast.
I guess the difference between the 80s and the current is, like, obviously they just rated WB and CW for their cast. Everybody was a known name. It wasn't these kind of unknown New York actors. But
oh, that's so cool.
Yeah, but
great job. Great job. And you can please, listeners and viewers, check it out at setjitter.com. Always great work, Robert.
Thank you.
Well, now that rehearsals are over, we will start recording the show for
now
real.
Now we're ready.
So Jimmy Buffett passed away today, Perry.
What?
What? That was a good tagline quiz. I kind of want to watch something in the Halloween franchise now.
I was gonna say, what does that make you want to watch?
Halloween.
Probably makes you want to watch Jason Takes Manhattan, I'm sure.
Definitely not Popeye. But that'll be our show tonight. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. And as always, follow Robert and check out his work. And we will see you on the set.
I want to go back to the island where the shrimp bowl to the pilot. Give me oysters and beer for dinner every day of the year, and I'll be fine. I'll feel fine. I wanna be there. Wanna go back down and lie beside the sea there. Red wine and I'm chewing on a honeysuckle vine. Yeah, now the sun goes sliding across the water. Sailboats, they go searching for the breeze. Salt air, it ain't thin. It can stick right your skin and make you feel fine. Let's move. I wanna be there before the day tries to steal away. I made up my mind and I wanna be there. I wanna go back down and die beside the sea. Yeah, with a tin cup for a chalice.